What happened?
Oh, these hippie weirdos, they broke into my house.
Is everybody okay?
Well, the f***ing hippies aren't. That's for damn sure. But I'm fine.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn.
No, this is no good.
We're going for a ride.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
I would just have a red rubber stamp, and it would just say FAFO on your unemployment form. Google fires 28 employees for protesting Israel cloud deal. We'll rehash that here. We have a report card for King County's $500 a month guaranteed income program, FAIRD. I mean, it's almost laughable.
A plus, 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 plus.
Yeah, here, free money. What can go wrong? And I mean, it's almost a bad joke to be in King County and be excited about getting your unemployment plus a $500 a month spiffer. On that one, I can tell you. And if you had to eat a piece of a Joe Biden relative, would you go with thigh? They don't look very meaty.
Do I have to answer this question?
Yeah. Because he talked about he lost an uncle to cannibalism, we learned yesterday.
Let's go bicep.
And so if you don't remember, this was the Rosie O'Donnell thing. This was what got her fired from The View, finally. I'm playing this because the sister of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was on the TV because they're endorsing anybody but their own brother. They're endorsing Biden today, and the White House NBC decided that you need to know this. And I discovered a new way to pronounce President Xi Jinping of China, whose family name Xi, so in America he would be Jinping Xi, but he's Xi Jinping. And she said it like this, so folks, repeat after her.
Xing Zheng Qing.
There you go.
Xing Zheng Qing.
As good as most. I'm better than many.
Good morning, China.
Then she went on to mispronounce Kim Jong-un's actual name. Of North Korea and all that.
Xing Zheng Qing.
And he would not, you know who would not approve?
Xing Zheng Qing.
Exactly. So this is what this reminded me of. When Rosie O'Donnell did that, she was talking about when Danny DeVito appeared on The View and he was drunk. Remember that was a minor kerfuffle around the world? Danny DeVito, who's famous for being short, but not as short as...
Xing Zheng Qing.
So Rosie O'Donnell, they were talking about the media sensation, and she said this.
All right. Well, the fact is that it's news all over the world. Yes. So, you know, you can imagine in China, it's like, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, ching chong, Danny DeVito, ching chong, 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 drunk, The View, ching chong.
No.
So her entire understanding of Mandarin Chinese is just repeating ching chong. And that got her turfed because, first of all, she's an alleged comedian. That should prove that she's not. And however, RFK's sister with this.
I have come to the opinion and the perspective that free and open.
Well, anyway, and she said Xing Chong Xing or whatever, but no one brings that up. So here we go.
Not acceptable.
Xing Chong Xing.
There you go. But I'm going to go with where's the most, because Biden is losing muscle mass as well as brain mass. His legs don't look like they can keep him up. But if his uncle Ambrose Finnegan was downed in the Pacific on a warplane that drops rhymes and bombs and stuff, and on an island full of cannibals, which was the story that we learned yesterday, I'm going to go with thigh. You can't go wrong with thigh on a pig, on a Finnegan, on a Biden. At all. And just in case, I don't want people to not understand that this really was not this really was a story he told yesterday. And I don't think it's getting enough attention, because if this is a family legend, then say it's a family legend, and that it doesn't, you can't hold it up to the light.
Ambrose Finnegan, we called him Uncle Bosey. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps. Before there was an Air Force, he flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of
All right, so there you go. Does it's so funny that so many provable falsehoods up to the point where he was shot down, or the aircraft went down in the ocean adjacent to Papua New Guinea, where to this day there are certain tribes that do engage in the eating, the ritual eating of what they call long pig. That's what they call the human, the long pig. And a friend of mine was a commercial logger there, flew out of, did helicopter logging on Papua, and they were briefed on that. You probably don't want to go down unless you have many, many gifts and buy people off, or else they'll eat you. Or whatever. Well, what about this report card? We got to start a story. You know, if the story is how King County's $500 a month guaranteed income program fared, got to start with a touching anecdote. For years, Candace Johnson had a stable job and few money troubles. But when she was laid off during the pandemic, she found herself in a chain reaction of events that kept going down. Pregnant, jobless, and forced to leave her home due to domestic violence, Johnson's life was an absolute mess. Then her luck turned around because the government came along, or else the story wouldn't be in the Seattle Times. She got an apartment through King County Regional Homeless Authority's Rapid Rehousing Program and connected with caseworkers of the YWCA, landing a job at a Pierce County bank. So she has a job. So why not receive $500 a month through a 10-month guaranteed basic income pilot program run by the Workforce Development Council of Seattle King County, a local nonprofit organization? And I would say for many of us, that was living at home rent-free with mom and dad out of college. What was your path? What was your glide path out of Witzaga?
I think I lived with my parents for a year out of college and then got married, tied the knot, and got our own place.
And started leaning on her.
Yeah, exactly.
Honey, you should get a job. When I left Pulzaga at the Wazoo, at Wadsworth, there was a strike back in Port Angeles at one of the mills, a Kranz-Ellerbach or ITT Rainier. But me and my friend Jimmy from such as the Wazoo, such as there was work, immediate work. And so I moved back to Squim, moved in with the parental units. And there was this, you know, if I had offered rent, they would not have refused it. But there was sort of an implication that, hey, you know, look, I'm back from college. Don't you want to hang out with me? They never asked for any money, you know, kick in on the utilities or whatever. So if I was a good son, I would have just left cash on the table or something. But, you know, it was a job right out of there. And then I had to wait to get on with Drexel Burnham Lambert back here in Seattle. And then I started paying the big rents. And that was nasty. So for anybody, when you hit bottom, having a cushion would be nice. You know, if only young people saved, right? Oh, well, anyway, so tap to receive $500 a month through the 10-month guaranteed basic income pilot program. And I don't know what $500 a month gets you. Helped her pay for her now 18-month-old's daycare, gas. I saw that gas seems to have leveled out at around $5.49 regionally, right?
That still seems very high to me. In terms of the pain it's caused my pocketbook.
You mean, is that what you're paying in a Renton?
No, right around five. I don't know about mid-fives yet, but I go to the cheapo places if I can find them. Costco gas, around five probably.
I'll check that out today. But they don't have ethanol free, so I don't know if they're good enough for me.
Well, sorry.
So anyway, but Wild Stab, I bet you the Seattle Times finds the $500 a month delightful success. It's not covered enough. Seattle police shot and killed a person Wednesday afternoon while trying to make an arrest at the Doubletree in Tukwila. Around 3:15 p.m., and it was the Child Trafficking Task Force-involved thing. Here's what we knew yesterday afternoon.
Join you with breaking news this 5 o'clock hour, a shooting in Tukwila near South Center. Thanks for joining us. I'm Elle Thomas.
I'm hearing an outbreak of Tukwila instead of Tukwila. There's an outbreak of that locally on local media. I mean, where do people get Tukwila? The clear separation between the ka and the willa, I think, is what's called for.
And I'm Aaron Wright. This shooting happened just off South Center Parkway at a hotel near the shopping center. Our Jake Chapman joins us live from the scene. Jake, what have you learned since you've been down there?
Jake?
We're getting an update from SPD right now, guys.
It was, he was the subject of an investigation from the Washington State Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. I don't know the details of that investigation. That will come out once we get further into this, but it was a crime involving children.
Did the shooting happen inside the hotel?
So the suspect they were attempting to arrest, quote, produced a firearm, close quote, after a struggle, two officers fired at the suspect, killing them. And the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, the ICACTF, they go after pedophiles seeking other pedophiles and things like that, and attempting to arrange ententes with people inappropriate. So they're doing the Lord's work on that one. So we'll too many shootings around South Center, but I got to say, if it's involving pedophiles, then good on you. So it's question one, a know-it-all, kicking off right now.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know-it-all. First thing.
You know what I didn't catch and bring in from last week was Alec Baldwin was holding the gun when it went off. Okay, no such thing. You pulled the trigger. The FBI conclusively said he pulled the trigger because they tried dropping it. The Colt Peacemaker single action gun tried dropping it, tried everything. It was a functioning weapon. You're not holding it and went off without you helping it go off by pulling the trigger. And so I didn't catch what was the gun wrangler Gutierrez, her sentence is 18 months.
I think that's right, yeah.
Something like that, never handle guns again. She'll never be hired again. Thing two, so...
Second thing.
How about felonies? Block my Uber from dropping me off at SeaTac. Felony for you, sir.
We do not support you interrupting the lives and safety of your fellow citizens.
Republican Representative Spencer Hutchins has renewed his call for a new law, one that would make intentionally obstructing a freeway a felony. He and other lawmakers...
Just for pure civility, I think it should be a felony to do that. And if you can, if there is an ambulance with a patient, then, yeah, you're harming a life. You're harming someone and you're hiding behind the First Amendment, which has nothing to do with you blocking a legal passageway on a taxpayer-subsidized drop-off point at SeaTac or 520. So, thing three.
Third thing.
Imagine finding out who the entire Kennedy clan is in Philadelphia today. They're going to endorse, and it's not going to be their brother running against Joe Biden. It's, in fact, going to be Joe Biden. But that's not the surprising part. The surprising part is that vocal tick that he has apparently runs in the family, evidently.
Later today in Philadelphia, tell me about it.
Well, first of all, Joe, thank you so much for showing that clip and for your years and years and years of support of everything that we do.
This is Carrie Kennedy, and might I add, she looks, there's a striking family resemblance, shall we say. There's a toothy family resemblance from them.
And you're such kind and heartfelt warmth towards my father and my family. We all so appreciate it. And you too, Mika.
And here's the warm words. You're about to drop a cold one.
Thank you. You know, we're here in Philadelphia with my siblings and representing my first cousins, all of whom, with the exception of two, all who are legally able are supporting Joe Biden for re-election. And we're doing that because we feel that the stakes are so high. You know, you clip of Daddy in which he said, I cannot stand aside. And
I know it's hard to get through. I got to say, just you're delivering a cold one to your own brother. Wouldn't you just out of sake of having him get off the illusion that he has a viable chance, talk him out of it and say, you're kind of making yourself look stupid. Here, but I'll stop it when she says "Xing Chong Ching."
We cannot stand aside when we're up against a man who says he wants to be a dictator on day one, who says he's going to change the Constitution so he can go after his enemies, who's cozied up to dictators from Putin to Xing Chong Ching and Kim Xing Chong Ching.
So anyway. The president canceling a meeting with Xing Chong Ching because there's no such person. Thing three.
I think we're already on number four.
Are we?
Fourth thing.
Well, I think your count is wrong. You're counting like Xing Chong Ching.
Xing Chong Ching.
So there. So Mike Gallagher, the Republican from Wisconsin, resigning tomorrow, gave some details. I hadn't heard this, and it was a detail. I mean, a story sort of in the background that a congressman is resigning, you know, well before election, and that means one fewer Republican. But it's what he said.
And with just days until he leaves his seat in Congress, Representative Mike Gallagher is shedding some light on his resignation.
Now, Gallagher announced in February that he would not be seeking re-election. Then in March, he said he would be resigning his seat effective April 19th. Fox 11's Emily Matesik has more on what Gallagher said today as he prepares to leave office.
So listen to him. He drops swatting and death threats. And it seems to me like that would have been news if a Republican congressman had been swatted in Green Bay, Wisconsin, or the suburb of that he lives in Wisconsin.
In one of his last acts in Congress, Mike Gallagher from Wisconsin's 8th District chaired a House Select Committee hearing on China's possible connection to fentanyl overdoses in the U.S. After the hearing, Gallagher spoke with a couple of reporters about the hearing and the end of his time in Congress.
This is more just me wanting to prioritize being with my family and, you know, who I signed up for the death threats and the late night swatting, but they did not. And for a young family, I'd say this
late night swatting. Really-
Xing Chong Ching.
I hadn't heard that. But so anyway, there he goes. Now you know what he sounds like before he's gone tomorrow. And so anyway, one less Republican vote. Not that it matters much. The Speaker, Mike Johnson, Mike Xing Chong Ching, is going to try to separate the funding for Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. And pass them as three separate funding thing. It's an arcane detail that most of you don't know or don't care about, and so I won't waste your time with it. And is it the end of the bikini barista? Has Everett had it up to here, being known around the world for nothing but that one time that barges full of hippie haters from Seattle went up there and beat striking commies? In like 1905, remember that? And that you can get coffee delivered to you by a woman wearing thoroughly inappropriate for the time of year coffee wear.
Fifth thing.
We don't know. We don't know.
As in Everett, earlier tonight, City Council voted unanimously to adopt a new ordinance that would force them to cover up minimally. The change comes after the city's former dress code was ruled as unconstitutional.
Fox 13's Alejandra Guzman spoke with a stand owner who sued the city. So, Allie, what does she have to say tonight?
So, I mean, you know, if you want your employees to do business voluntarily, if you want to work here, you have to wear a bikini. You can either come to work tomorrow or not. That's legal. If you don't want to go there and get coffee, you don't have to. I don't get it. And I've never been in Everett at a time when I was drinking coffee, like midday or whatever, for whatever reason. So I've never enjoyed the bikini baristas, only the B-roll that you see on TV. But Greg, you're a big fan of them. Is the coffee
I'm
better?
Sorry, what? Excuse me? We have a bikini barista about 10 minutes away from our house, and we drive by it on occasion just because...
But you live in Renton.
It's on the way to different places that we're heading, and my wife and I are kind of always creeped out by them. One time she saw a truck spend way too long there and then circled back around for a second trip while she was waiting at a stoplight.
I want a refill.
I just don't think it breeds healthy activity for a community, the objectification, the raw objectification of women. There's something called community decency.
Nothing highlights the difference between the visualization and fantasization of men and women than the fact that if there is a Speedo, if there is a women-friendly dude in Speedo, barista, drive-through barista, I'm unaware of it. Certainly. I don't think that women aren't lookers. They're not. They don't take that visual snapshot that the typical male pig does.
Well, she actually tells me that she actually helped the city of Everett draft up this new dress code ordinance after her launch.
But it is weird to me that why is it that there's such a concentration in Everett? Because I do have occasional cause to go to Everett, and it is weird that it doesn't exist with the concentration that it does at say in Shanghai or Beijing.
Xing Zheng Qing.
So anyway, there you go. I'm gonna play the crap out of that today. all right. Well, when we come back, we'll learn about the president's uncle being eaten by cannibals. Because who else would they eat? That and more. It's a true story. And because he told it. And so therefore, it must be true. And the Ukraine vote, a little more on that when we come back. And Iran's oil exports hitting a six-year high or six-year low. The answer may not surprise you in just a minute. Back in a second, AM 770 KTDH.
Swear to God, true story. Swear to God.
An explosion in vacant building fires is leading the mayor of Seattle to sit up and take notice and change the city's fire code. So the increase goes like this. 2021, 77 vacant building fires, and overwhelmingly, because guns don't just go off in your hand and fires don't just ignite. Overwhelmingly, these are vagrant fires. 77 in 2021, 91 in 2022. And then they plummeted to 130 last year. This year, already we're on a pace to beat that. 30 so far this year. And overwhelmingly, if there's a boarded up or abandoned building, they break into it. And then they get cold, no matter how much stuff they wear. They get cold. They start a fire from a pallet or whatever. And then either you teach them fire safety or change the fire code or something. But it does happen a lot around here. Up in just stay on East Lake. It turns to University, right? At Montlake. From there north through the UW, it's University Avenue, right?
I'll take your word for it.
I think I'm right on that. Only there was a handheld device where I could confirm that. Up that neighborhood, just across the Montlake Cut, across the University Bridge, there's a couple of houses that burned down, like November, December. And because something that someone out there, some listeners done, has made the Lord hate us. It was really cold this morning. I would not have said no to a fire. 2026 at my house. It's supposed to be really sunny this weekend. Not sunny at 3 a.m., I can tell you that.
Yeah, we're looking at 67 degrees, 68 degrees on Friday, Saturday.
I'll do a fire on a beach. Yeah, hello. So changes to the city's fire code would allow Seattle Fire Department to order and complete demolition or remediation of unsafe vacant buildings. And oftentimes, good luck with that because they're going to county up. Unless you can get the county on board to condemn the house or yellow tag it or whatever, then good luck with that. Because, the way it should be is that property owners, homeowners have that many rights. You have more, yeah, unless someone is squatting in there. Then you can release the hounds, but you can't legally remove them. These dangerous vacant buildings are known hazards that put our first responders. And also, if you know the neighborhood I'm talking about, underneath where the I-5 Ship Canal Bridge lands, you know, at 45th, that whole neighborhood underneath there, Wallingford, super high-end neighborhood, super dense neighborhood. And so there's an outbreak. And in places where it's cold, they light fires. In places where it's warm, they light fires. Seattle Fire Department has identified more than 40 vacant buildings citywide that are potentially impacted by this legislation. Up to 10 properties may be addressed by this legislation each year. And it's basically, on the one hand, Seattle's housing market saves Seattle from being festooned with empty houses. So there's that. Yay for us. Because properties don't either stay empty or unused very often. The guy, the skeleton they found in the tent, remember, that guy was on the eastern slope of Queen Anne. There's no houses there. They're, unless they're stuck in the hillside or something. But so that's why they found the skeleton in the tent. So Iran's oil exports have hit a six-year high. Folks, a high. An average of 1.56 million barrels per day during the first 3 months of the year. Almost all of it to China. And they're the only ones making money selling oil to China because the Russians are lowballing everybody on natural gas and refined gasoline and just making a killing from the Chinese president.
Xi Jinping.
Thank you. Yeah, that one. And so is India. India's never had it so good with the cheap energy. And the like, and so they don't apologize, and they're like, that's the cost of going off half cocked and saying sanctions on Mr. Putin, illegal for the EU or Americans to import Russian oil. Well, we didn't anyway. The EU does a lot, and so it's finally something smart happened where the Europeans finally have switched over from Russian natural gas to American LNG, liquefied natural gas. And they liquefy it by concentrating it under extreme pressure and put it on very volatile ships and then ship it off to Spain and Portugal, where they put it in, or France, put it in pipelines and then make boiling ramen out of it. Story out of the Jerusalem Post today was that a de facto quid pro quo sort of deal was if you don't kinetically strike Iran, we'll let you clear out Rafah. Remember, there's the final city in the southern part of Gaza where the Hamas pothole fillers are still working and the dog catchers. It's the city of Rafah. It's the final city before your next stop is Sinai. And there has been a movement for the Israelis not to launch a door-to-door operation clearing Rafah. They now have a green light to do this. And this is after we claim that American experts have looked over a Israeli plan. I don't know who they're talking about. Have looked over an Israeli plan for clearing this urbanized terrain, the last redoubt, the Berlin of Hamas, where we have not heard about outbreaks of cannibalism like that which took the president's Uncle Bozy. And you know, every kid has an Uncle Bozy, doesn't he? Uncle Bozy was, and by the way, none of this is true. Uncle Ambrose Finnegan was on a plane that the Army Air Corps in 1944 knows went down for unknown mechanical reasons. The lone survivor said that the aircraft went nose down into the South Pacific Sea in the Solomon Island group around New Guinea, where there have been tribes identified that partake in cannibalism. But Uncle Bozy was not shot down and then eaten by cannibals.
Ambrose Finnegan.
It is, I gotta say, it is a better story. Then, yeah, he was an ordnance officer, and he was deadheading on a plane to another island, and the engines went out, and they went in the ocean. But he was piloting a reconnaissance plane and was eaten by cannibals. That's a showstopper right there.
We called him Uncle Bosey. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
A lot of big, fat, Biden-fed. They're fattened up on Biden is what they were. So there's that. So we got into, fairly wide-ranging discussion about cannibalism last hour. The award-winning 6 o'clock hour has had to surrender the award because of last hour, which you can listen to at, by texting APP to 800-465-8770 or just open your darn app. And it's not a bad app like Corn Pop. It's a good app. There's a hair-raising documentary. You want to know what it's called? You're a aficionado of the good cannibalism documentary, aren't you?
Of course.
The Emperor's Naked Army Marches On.
Mm.
True story. The Japanese army was in such bad straits by 1944 and 45. Because they were not, unlike the popular myth in Britain, Australia, and America, the Japanese were not wily jungle fighters. They were city kids who had no idea what they were doing. And so many units were cut off by 1943, 45, 44, 45, that one unit actually in New Guinea, the officers started charging men with trumped up charges so they could execute them in the field and eat them.
No, God!
True story.
No, God, please,
a survivor
no!
of this unit. In other words, he survived his own army's justice system. Was going around Japan in the 70s protesting this, trying to cleanse his soul. And a documentary was made about the chap. And it's called The Emperor's Naked Army Marches On. And we'll tell you more about that in just a second. There's a tease. There's a cannibalism tease. AM 770 KTTH. Get a lifetime ban. Does the NBA have, where do they get off? The NBA handing out a lifetime ban to a player, Jontay Porter, because he was giving game-throwing information. He was giving up confidential details of injured players and things like that, and so the bookmakers had a leg up, as they always do in placing the line in the NBA, and so he's out. Did you see... I only heard this as a sideways sort of reference, but apparently the Klay Thompson era is over officially. In the play-in game for the NBA apparently have playoffs. If you follow it, I guess you know that the Kings beat the Golden State Warriors, and Klay Thompson had 0 points.
That doesn't sound good, but
no, I think they pay him. I think to have more than zero.
I don't follow the NBA very closely these days.
Yeah, nor I. But like I said, when I see lifetime ban, that happens with gambling because you can hit a referee like with a closed fist in the face, and you're not going to get a lifetime ban. But get used to that. At some point in NCAA Division I football. This is going to happen. They're going to find two players are going to get together in Des Moines, Iowa, or Montlake, Washington, and they're going to decide, they're going to come up with criteria to throw a game. If they know a game is going to be close, or they can make the game close. But it will happen because the pursuit of money now is the only reason you play sports in college. Because you're good looking and you have your merch, and so you do your name, image, and likeness. Does anyone think for a second that there's any barrier in their minds, in their unformed brains, is there any difference between making money by throwing a game versus just showing up and putting on a uniform? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know what they're doing to mitigate this. If there's like a, you know, they have academic tutors and all that. I don't know if at a big high-powered program such as your UW, such as, they're more likely to do it than Oregon State or Wazoo to have, because no one's going to bet money. The money's not going to be big enough. They're not going to be in a big enough game. And I just think it's just common sense out loud to say that, okay, if pros are doing it, we're shocked, aren't we? Besides the A's, isn't there an NBA team that's going to Vegas?
Not that I know of.
The A's, once they clear out of Sacramento, are going to be in a new facility in Vegas. The NFL has made peace with it. And apparently the Raiders are taking it seriously because the team has come down pretty tough. And they've said, anyone who we hear is darkening the doorstep of a sports book and betting on a Raiders game, you're off the team. Because that... The team would be in trouble with the NFL.
It's kind of a fine line that all these professional sports leagues are walking, though, because gambling sites, gambling apps are ubiquitous in
commercials.
There's
an app now you can bet on the next pitch on whatever game you're watching.
I mean, every other commercial is for DraftKings or the MGM Sportsbook, and there's Jamie Foxx, and there's some major celebrity saying, bet, 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 all betting on sports is all good. And then we go, how dare you, to all these players that have proximity to the actual game. Well, what do you expect?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on here.
What do you expect?
The NBA issued a lifetime ban to Toronto Raptor forward Jontay Porter. Never heard of him. Yesterday, for violating league gambling rules, the league's investigation found Porter was guilty of disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes. So, I mean, you know, you have a guy you can count on to score. He gets out there and he doesn't score a point. In this day and age, I would raise an eyebrow and I would have a sit down with Clay and say, you understand, on the day you don't even score a free throw, that's a circle that date on the calendar kind of game. Yeah, especially in a playoff game, for you not to step up and score a point against the crappy Sacramento Kings, we're going to take a hard look at that.
I think if a player doesn't score a point, though, it seems more legitimate than if he scored 10 points. Do you see what I'm saying? Because it's almost far more suspicious if he gets a big fat goose egg.
Or scores three.
Right, because yeah. Then, I don't know, if you're throwing a game, I feel like you want to play at least at a mediocre level.
Make it look good.
Yes, exactly.
He was found guilty of disclosing confidential information to sports bettors, limiting his own participation in one or more games for betting purposes and betting on NBA games. Because now it's that granular. You can bet that Jontay Porter is going to have 28 minutes. And then he calls his number. He's checking the time. He's got his Fitbit on or whatever. And at minute 20, he has a cramp. And they pull him out. And he bet on himself to play less than 28 minutes. And so, I mean, it's that easy. And you can bet on everything. And so I'm just saying, I'm not going to be shocked or surprised when it happens in Division I men's tackle football or local high school sports, because you can bet down to that level, not legally, but of course, we all know that gamblers obey the law. But of course, you can bet on Blanchett at Inglemore, or, you know, insert other name of team. Here. So anyway, I'd say, ladies,
how about this, Brian? I'm going to pause it.
Brenton at Kent Meridian.
Don't you think there was potentially a double standard at play here for someone like the NBA's Jontay Porter, who I had not heard of until today?
How would you spell that?
Jontay.
Oh, you're peeking.
I'm looking at the Google machine. Okay, but this investigation seemed to go very swiftly. Immediately gets banned from the game. You know why? Because no one had heard of him before. And then you have a Shohei Ohtani who, as soon as we heard about this scandal, I don't see a deep dive investigation unless it's going on behind the scenes.
Hey, that was his interpreter.
No, because he's too big to fail. Too big to fail. So they don't want to go after him swiftly and in a thorough manner because he's too good for the game. And who knows what they would dig up if they really did a probe into this thing for months and months and months. I'm sure they would come up with something, but they're sort of, we're going to look over here on this case because Ohtani's the best. He's the greatest. He's so good. Look how many jerseys he's selling.
I just think it's more.
Disagree with that notion?
More. I think you're on to the thing that I'm on to, that he was gambling a lot of money and using his interpreter to place the bets like all the Angels were for 3 years. And they just, Major League Baseball has a special place in Merrick Garland's heart. And so the commissioner said, this would be bad for America. You do this. does Merrick Garland want to go down as the guy who brought down baseball? Do you want to be the Kennesaw Mountain Landis of 2025? Then drop it.
But that's how much times have changed in the last 100 years. I mean, Shoeless Joe and what, 7 of his teammates were given a ban for life. And it's still not even certain that Shoeless Joe knew what was going on.
He did.
The extent of it.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, but
sure, he was illiterate.
He was great for the game.
You don't have to be literate to gamble. To go 0-for-5
Dude
in game 7.
He couldn't even write his own name, but he could throw down on the World Series. But again, the society at that time, the higher value was honor and, you know.
Whatevs.
And nowadays, it's, well, this guy brings in a lot of money, so hear no evil, see no evil.
But I mean, that's the thing, what people are missing is that it is trickled down to high school. Now that high school kids are competing for, a scholarship is neat and stuff, but that's just for losers that want to go to college. If you want the clicks and the YouTube money and the Instagram money and all that, then you do that. I mean, that's what drives you, is the pursuit of money through high school football glory or whatever.
The professionalization of everything has been a bad trend in society.
Do we care about the
gambling on everything?
The Trump juror who's been dismissed?
The Trump juror?
Right, and this idea of being fair and impartial. Do you feel like the people that you were speaking with in that jury room that you sat with all day on Tuesday, that they can put together a fair and impartial jury because of that sense of duty? Do you think that's possible?
I'm not sure about that.
Really, why?
You know, everybody has biases and, you know, stereotypes in their mind, so you have to be really, you know, deep in.
I'd have dismissed her for being a foreigner. So this is if they identified her, I missed it. This is the one woman that was dismissed from the Trump jury. So of course she is a star on MSNBC, but she has some faintly Scandinavian German / accent. That's what I'm calling it.
I know that we were just getting this,
and so we'll learn why. But apparently this is a woman who said she could not be objective. So good for her. Good for her. Did you point to the window that the vagrant kicked, knocked your out in your car like I did? I gestured to the parking lot of the Thurston County Courthouse, and I made my case. But anyway, we won't get into her business. Back to cannibalism. No new developments on cannibalism. Somebody somewhere, when Biden is on the road, the press conferences are solely Karine Jean-Pierre back at the White House. So please, somebody chase down that story. I'm fascinated when you come up with a war story where your uncle was shot down over an island full of cannibals. Then I guess you're not, there's no candle in the window for him. No yellow ribbon for the guy that we called Uncle Bozy, eaten by cannibals, 1944. The Army Air Corps says that the aircraft went down in the ocean, actually ditched in the ocean for an unknown accident. But
Ambrose Finnegan, when they called him Uncle Bozy, he was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps before the.
I bet Uncle Bozy's headstone at Arlington is going to say, "Born 1909, died 1944." Eaten by cannibals.
There's an Air Force. close single engine.
Be next to Bo Biden or something like that. But a posthumous Medal of Honor being requested for Uncle Bozy, who single-handedly fed a village of cannibals.
His reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
A lot of cannibals. You get a lot of cannibals together, and then a white guy comes down the parachute, and it's a party. Party's on. It's like a salmon bake for cannibals. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.